hear the word to us this morning. And just open your hearts, open your minds, and let the word of God fill your hearts and your lives. Amen.
Leria sacoba cria sacomana cadia co eco bacria sicoria sata comana cridiaso oco bacria sicoba shata cridia socorria icoria sicomana cadia coria sico ecore carabaria socorria sato comana cridia socorbia she eco bacria sicoma caria oco. I have not forgotten my word. I have not forgotten my promise. I am not a man that I would lie. And what I have spoken for this house is what I intend for this house. I don't intend it for somebody else. I intend it for this house. And this people who are in this house will fulfill my word and my promise. You have not been forsaken. I have not and will not forget the promises that I have made. I have given a word to this house, but I have given a word to this man and this woman of God to take you where you are supposed to go. This is my word to you. If you will stand, if you will believe, if you will celebrate and stand fast and hold to where they are taking you, you will see great and mighty things. The earth has not received, and America has not received, me and my son as it will when you start proclaiming and you start seeing the miracles that I will perform in this house. I have a plan. You follow my plan and not what you want. I will perform my word. Watch, and be in place to take your place.
Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Check. Am I on? Check one. I think I'm on. Can y'all hear me? Oh, y'all say, oh, there we go. Praise God. I just wanted to, first of all, thank you, Pastor Michelle, for mentioning about the group. I really appreciate that. You know, it's funny when, so I kind of give you guys an update on how just ministry stuff that I've been involved with. When Corona and all this other stuff broke out, you know, zero gravity, we had like a full summer of things that God had planned for us, and all of it just got zapped. The last one that we had, which was planned for August, that was like everything was green lighted, but just last week they said no. So right now we have no events for this year, but that's not deterring us from moving forward, because not only do we believe that God's going to open up a door for us to do something on our own for 2020, but we're preparing even for 2021, because I believe the floodgates are just going to open up. People are going to be hungry for ministry. All the stuff that's going on, the restrictions are going to be lifted. And so whatever God wants, we're just preparing ourselves. But it put me in an interesting position, because I'll go back a little bit further. Beginning of the year, y'all have heard me talk about Brother Prophet Steve Watkins, who ministers to me on occasion. He'll send me a word. And sometimes it's general words, but then sometimes it's really on time specific words. And I got one like around kind of similar to Sister Lou in December, kind of early January. I got one that basically, now he doesn't know anything about me singing. I very probably even never really told him or shared with him the testimony of what God did with me as far as taking me from singing secular music to singing for the kingdom. And I was content to just, if it was the rest of my life, just sing on the praise team. If that was what God wanted, that was fine. I was content with that. He got on me. His word from the Lord said, I did not give you that gift for it to be contained in a box. And I mean, it was like one of them woodshed words. It was like, okay, God. So I began in my mind thinking, okay, well, I need to start looking for material, starting getting things together. Well, several years ago, God gave a foundation for this group that I started, and everything was going so well. It was like it was just a wonderful thing. But we had that one individual. You know, you sometimes had that one individual that can kind of bless the Lord. He had that prima donna spirit. And it kind of deterred the direction that God was using for the group. I mean, God gave us the word for the group. He gave us a foundation. It was like everything was moving. And then it just got all halted. And after that, I was like, well, I guess that's done. I guess that chapter's done. So fast forward, like I said, after receiving that word from Brother Steve Watkins, I started moving, trying to prepare, you know, getting production stuff. But it just wasn't moving. You know how you try to do something and you know this isn't the way. It's just like, it just was not in here. I wasn't satisfied. It was just like dryness all over. And so the brother, now I'll preface back to you, the brother who was part of our group, he moved to California between this time frame. So he'd been for the last 4 or 5 years, he'd been in California. God blessed him tremendously, learned a lot about just the inner workings of the industry. He was writing for TV shows, commercials, movie soundtracks. So then working with some individuals, and then he ended up working with a label. So God was just giving him, but at the same time, this is one of the most humble brothers that I've ever met in my life. He never took that as a way of saying, okay, I'm gonna, basically what he was doing was taking the knowledge of how the inner workings of the business works, but he still was all about the kingdom. But in here, as he was gone away, and once I'm going on that time of me saying, if I'm content to just sing on the praise team, that's fine with me. I had no peace about working with nobody else. I was like, I know he's in Cali, and I'm like, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to get back here, you know, but God, whatever. September. Now, it's funny. September, my wife and I, this last year, September, we went to go visit Camille, her best friend. While I was there, it hit me. I was like, man, Levester is in California. Why am I not trying to get a hold of him? So I got a hold of him 2 days before we left. He tells me, hey, man, what's going on? Now, we hadn't talked in about 2 years. He says, I'm moving back to Austin. I was like, okay. Now, mind you, I didn't say anything about trying to work, trying to do anything to get, didn't mention any of that. Because I knew, you know, he's going to come back, he's going to get settled. So he had been back here for about maybe a few months, and I just hit him. Well, he hit me up, and he said, man, God told me that I need to be working with you, that we need to be trying to get some. So that's when we started trying to work on production stuff just for me. Wasn't working, wasn't flowing. He calls me in the middle of the night one day, and he says, bro, now mind you, this is right before coronavirus stuff started happening. He said, bro, God told me that we're not done. Second Journey, the name of our, he said, we're not done. And he said, God already told me the dude that I need to call. And he didn't even realize it's my cousin who sings. It's my cousin. So he was like, and he said, man, a dude, and I knew, and funny thing, I knew his cousin. I've been knowing Keyshawn for years. Never knew, you know, thought about trying to do something together, but it was just divine orchestration. So lo and behold, we're working, we're fellowshipping, we're getting to know each other, just building a bond, not even worried really about music, but just praying together, work, getting in the word together, and stuff just started coming to us, just songs. And then all of a sudden, we're getting ready to start recording, coronavirus hits, and they shut the studio down on us. So it's like, how are we going to work? So Levester said, man, I think we should take this time that we have and consecrate ourselves to God individually and collectively. Let's start listening to him. Let's start hearing from him. Lo and behold, after all of this stuff's happened, now I'm talking about y'all, just a matter of maybe about 2 weeks ago, we got together and songs just started coming out of us. Not even trying to think of a song. So then I got my daughters to start writing. Once again, they weren't thinking, just like, they're like, Dad, check this out. And I let Levester, and Levester was like, bro, let me tell you, I've been in the industry, I done worked with songwriters, and he was like, this is anointed. He took it to his friend in San Antonio is John Hagee's musical director, a guy by the name of Sean Bird, and is one of his mentors and person that he really respects. And he let him look at Jessica's lyrics for a song that we're working on. Sean was like, bro, them lyrics are on point. This dude has won awards. He's won Dove Awards, Stellar Awards. He was like, those lyrics are on point. So, bottom line, God is up to something. I don't know what is up. So listen, check this out. We go in the studio last week, and Lavesta was like, bro, well, it's so funny. He'll text me. He calls me a vampire. because literally, he'll text me like 3 in the morning, and I respond. I'll be like, do you ever sleep? But I'm like, well, bro, if God is speaking something to you, I want to know. I want to be on the wavelength that if I need to start praying or I need to start, you know. So anyway, God gave him a song, a simple chorus, y'all. I'm talking about 2-minute chorus. And he said, bro, this is something that I believe the church needs to hear. He said, what inspired it? He said, I am so sick of the bickering that's going on in the body of Christ. Why are we bickering with one another over foolishness when the world is out here dying? He was like, and he said, I just could not get this out of my heart, that God was basically saying this song is a song of healing that the church needs to realize. We need to humble ourselves. We need to get out of the way and say, God, what do you want? What do you want? We need you. We don't need agendas. We don't need all this other stuff. We need you. And man, we heard it. Now, we recorded that thing, y'all. Listen, last week, we recorded that song. Because I left here from church and recorded my part after service Sunday. He mixed it Monday, Tuesday. We uploaded it he mixed it Monday. He finished mixing it Tuesday. We shot a video on Tuesday. He mixed it Wednesday. We uploaded it Thursday. And between Thursday and today, that thing is close to having 6,000 views on Facebook. Just Facebook. It's on YouTube. I don't even remember how many accounts it has on YouTube, but God is doing something through this. Between that day, Thursday, we released it, and Sunday, we signed a publishing deal that didn't cost us anything. And so now the song is populated to Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Pandora in 2 days. Now I'm gonna give you an understanding of what that, when you're in the industry, that normally takes about a month to happen. Minimal. And the brother that God led us to work with is a brother that he respects, Lavesta. He said, man, I just did this out of the heart of the relationship that I have with Vesta. But after I saw y'all's hearts, and he said, I'm furloughing what I would normally take money-wise because I believe in this song and I believe in y'all. Do you know how much favor that is? I mean, this dude minimal charges you about $200 a month just for marketing anything. He's doing it just because of relationship and because of he sees the anointing of God. Only God can do that. It's not some, you know, thing that you can just push your way. So I'm just asking y'all to continue to pray and be in agreement because I believe that there's more. I keep telling the fellas, I don't think God put us together for coincidence. I believe that the music that's going to come out of what we do, our name of our group is Second Journey, which is depictive of the second chance that the second Adam has given us to walk in the second journey of life that he's given us. He's called us out of darkness. Darkness was that first journey. We turned from that. Now we're on the second journey, which was the original journey that he had from us from the beginning. But God, I believe that from the music that's going to come out of what we're doing, it's going to heal many, many lives. I really believe that. And I told the fellas, the minute anything comes that's outside of that, we're in danger zone because God has a divine purpose for what we're doing. So just keep us in prayer. Like I said, I'm just amazed how fast God did all of this. It's just, it's mind-blowing. But I just wanted to give you an update on just, you know, what I've been up to. And, you know, yesterday at the homegoing celebration of Sister Annie, I was just so encouraged. That lady was a beautiful, beautiful lady, inside and out. And she just exuded the kingdom. She exuded the glory of God. I don't think I've ever seen her in any situation where she had a sore look or never. She was just always full of joy. And God just spoke to my heart. He said, she ministered not only to the lives of her family, but countless many because of her attitude of love and joy. And if anything, that is exactly how ministry should be conducted in the body of Christ. She had a ministry. But guess what? every last one of us in this room, we have a ministry. We have a ministry, and sometimes we get thrown off by, well, I'm too old, or I don't have this qualification. If you have the Spirit of the living God abiding and residing on you, inside of you, he didn't redeem you just so that you could sit on a pew, just so that you can, you know, no, he redeemed you so that the hope that's within you can be displayed by others who are desperately in need of it. And so I just want to just encourage you, don't ever think for a minute that you don't have a purpose, that God doesn't have anything that he wants to do in you that's bigger than what you think it is. Take, Pastor Jim told us for years, take the limits for God's ability that's in you and me. That's what he's wanting for today. And so if you could, DJ, I want you to cue that video. The one thing that I want you to see from this, and I'm going to set it up, and because I want you to see that people in this city have the, many people have the same heartbeat. They want to see this city changed. And so this was something that took place yesterday, but I want you to think of it from the mindset of God wanting to use us to impact this city, but not only this city, this region, this county, this state, and this nation. And there's little small things that we can do in that process. So DJ, if you could show that for me, I'd appreciate it. This is a news story from yesterday of something that took place in the city.
And as we've seen, protests continue today on this Saturday. But instead of marching, churches around in the area have organized a pray-test instead. KB reporter Mike LaRoot is live in downtown Austin. And Mike, what is a pray-test?
So, Jenny, it's really just not a protest, but as you can hear behind me, they're praying for a lot of the people involved in these protests, including families that have been victims. They've been praying for officers. They've been praying for the city council here in Austin. But the protest here behind me has drawn a lot of people here in a spiritual way. It hasn't been rowdy or anything like that. It's been a lot of praying. They moved originally from Trinity and 7th down to the Capitol building area. But these people here today are enjoying each other's company and continuing to pray for the families affected by police brutality across the country.
The community has lost hope. They have lost hope in racial reconciliation. They have lost hope in the church. They have lost hope in our police system. They have lost hope in our government. And we're here today to give them just a sample that we're not divided. Yeah. We love each other.
It says that Jesus Christ is.
As you heard Luis Cepeda say, these churches have come out here to make a statement. They are with the people here. They're here as a support system. Now, this protest will continue until about 6 o'clock or so. At that time, we'll be going live from Austin Police Department, where there have been a few protesters out there today, but it's been relatively quiet, again, compared to what we saw just a week ago. Reporting live in downtown Austin, Mike Marut, KVU News.
And as we
thank you. So I wanted to show you that because the temptation of the body of Christ is to curse the darkness. Oh, look at them people protesting. Why are they protesting? What's going on? Or we can go right in the midst of the darkness and shine a light. And that's what they did. And that started, kind of give you a preface of where that started. A very good friend of mine in Houston named Bobby Herring, Trey Nines, been a friend of mine for many, many years. God laid it on his heart to really be a source of reconciliation for the community in Houston. And so he started gathering people, and they literally, basically what they would do through Houston, they weren't protesting, they were prayer walking. All down the streets of downtown, just praying for the community, praying for people. And one of the most amazing things, and maybe I can link you guys to this, I didn't want to show it today just for time's sake, but one of the things that spontaneously happened, see, and please forgive me if I go this route, and it's not like Pastor will hopefully will forgive me, but sometimes we have not dealt with the elephant in the room. We've ignored it. We put it aside and say, that was in the past. No, you got to deal with the past. The Bible says that the sins of the Father are visited. Yes. They're visited, and that's because it has to be dealt with. It has to be called out for what it is and say, no more. No more. And so my brother in this video, I wish I could show it. I don't have the time, but this spontaneously happened. He went and basically there was a group of people, they, and it was pouring, this was last Sunday, it was pouring down rain in Houston, just pouring down. And he took the white people that were part of the prayer walk, and he told the black people, he put them aside, and he said, I am taking responsibility to reconcile with my brothers. When one member of the body hurts, we all hurt. And he said, we have ignored this for too long, and I am dealing with it. And as a white individual, I am asking forgiveness for my brothers for the past. That has never been done in this country. You show me one time that it's ever been done. It hasn't. And my brother addressed it. And you can sense there's such anointing, because healing will restore. Healing will bring forth the salve that the body of Christ needs. And if it doesn't start in the church, how can the world can we expect it out there? It has to. Sunday morning is still one of the most segregated times in our nation, because you got black churches over here, you got white churches, you got Asian churches. We are segmented. Now, thank God we don't have that here. Thank God, house of the Lord, we don't have that here. Because we had a man of God. I remember Pastor Jim told me a long time ago, when House of the Lord grew and there were black people that started coming, some of the early white people that were part of the church, they were like, Pastor, we got to deal with some of these, you know, there's a lot of black people coming. And he said, you can leave. You can leave. You feel free to leave. And I thank God he started that foundation, that we never allowed that mess in this body. But no, but church family, everybody doesn't have that revelation. So how are we going to be effective in opening their eyes to see that there's only one race? There's actually only two races, the redeemed and the unredeemed. But you don't have to stay unredeemed. You can come into the race that God intended and be redeemed. But like I said, when he did that, man, I wish I could show that video, but there was just such an anointing of peace and reconciliation. Now, mind you, those black people in there, they didn't have no beef with any of those people there. But they were taking the responsibility. They said, if it starts with us, we're going to bring the redemption that's necessary for God to bring healing. Sometimes it takes us as the church body. You know how the Bible talks about God looked for somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Sometimes it takes us to say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. And that, man, I'm telling you, that ministers so much. But that's how this whole thing started. The whole protest thing. They're like, we're not going to protest. We're going to protest. We're going to walk the streets and decree God's reconciliation is being manifested in our cities. And I believe it's going to be a movement that's going to awaken people and realize. And that's going to be, I think, the thing that will galvanize a lot of these people that have these broken, they're trying to figure out. You got some people on this side saying, well, we blame the police. And then the other people on this side saying, we blame you. Man, y'all are two birds with the same, on different wings, but the same bird. Y'all both got issues, and you both got to get dealt with. So, and the only way you deal with that is through the blood of Christ Jesus. He's the only one that can bring that restitution, that reconciliation. And so I just encourage us, let's continue to have that mindset of, how, Lord, how can we be that balm in Gilead? How can we be that healing for the nation? That's what he wants us as the body of Christ to be. And so today, what we're going to be doing, you know, sometimes it takes, and when I'm on my job, we have these things called refreshers. It's like, you know, the information, but sometimes you got to be reminded. You got to go through a refresher. Anybody that works with your tools, you know, sometimes your tools need to be fine-tuned. You got to clean them. You got to tighten them, whatever is necessary. But for those tools to be effective, sometimes you got to do maintenance on them. And sometimes it's important for us as the body of Christ, if we understand that in the world, how much more in the body of Christ do we need to tighten up the tools of ministry that God has called us to walk in? And so today, that's what we're doing. The message, if anything, if you would title it, is called Welcome to the Ministry. Welcome to the Ministry. You are all ministers of the reconciliation of the kingdom. If anything else, that's the ministry that the Lord has given us. So we're going to look at some things that are necessary for us to tighten the tools of ministry that God wants us to walk in. So number one, what is ministry? Some people might say, what is ministry? I thought that was y'all, the people that stand around them. No, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Of course, there is the Ephesians 4 gifts that the Lord has given to the body. But guess what? That's for the equipping of the saints, the ministers, for you to do the work of the ministry. And so everybody ain't meant to stand. You know, sometimes I don't even want to to stand. But the bottom line is, God has called us to take the message that we have, the encouragement that we receive here in the house, and bring it out there to those that need it. So defined ministry and activity. And this blew me away how they worded this, an activity carried out by Christians to express or spread their faith. The prototype of this is the Great Commission. So the unction to ministry began when Jesus said all authority, and we're gonna get to that scripture soon, but he laid out for us the foundation of ministry. And I like to think of it, if you've never read Original Intent by Pastor Jim, get it, dissect it, get it in your spirit, because God is not schizophrenic. What he started, what he began in the garden, Jesus redeemed us and brought us right back to that original intent of redeeming the earth, raising up sons, because that's what the Great Commission says, go into all the nations. I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, the Great Commission is the prototype of what ministry is. That was the blueprint that Jesus said, I'm plugging you into the purpose that from the foundation of the earth I came to redeem to the body. The Encyclopedia of Christianity defines ministry as, quote, carrying forth Christ's mission in the world, indicating that it was conferred to us in baptism. When we were immersed into the Father, into the Son, into the Holy Spirit, that was what ushered us into ministry. So guess what? You ain't got a choice. It's part of your DNA. It's part of my DNA. God ordained us. He redeemed us so that we would be ministers of his grace, ministers of his mercy. That was what happened when we were baptized into him. We were baptized into his identity. And we know what his identity was about. The Bible says that he went about all the earth doing good and ministering to those who were oppressed of the devil. That's the calling that God has put upon us by our immersing and being immersed into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So therefore, like I said, ministry is not optional. It's part of who we are. So that's what is ministry. The next thing we're going to talk about is, where does ministry occur? Well, Matthew 28, as I mentioned, 18 verse 20, he laid it out for us. Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20, if you want to go there. And it says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So once again, he's given us direction that he's been given the authority in heaven and earth. And he's now given each one of us badges of delegation, saying, this is your authority. You have authority. I have the authority. Now I'm giving you the same authority. Now go. The next verse says, go. Therefore, make disciples of all nations, people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Now more than ever, the Lord is wanting his people to succeed in these various areas of spheres of influence. Because when we succeed there, we have an open door of access to show people, it ain't me that did it. It's the greater one that lives on the inside of us. That's what the whole issue of where he says, go to the different people. It's not really, but you could say it's nations, but what that literally means is people groups. That means specific people. There are certain people that I can reach that KB can't reach. But guess what? There's certain people that Kimpo can reach that I'll never be able to reach. But what I'm supposed to be is plugged into the purpose of God, know what he's created me to do, and be so intent on ministering to those people, but not from the mindset of, well, I'm going to show them how good I am. No, I'm going to show him how good he is. As I always go to people and tell them, I got my DJ name by Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father. That's the way we need to operate. And that's why God wants us successful, so that when people see us excelling and doing well, we can point to him. And that's how kingdom influence can be exerted in the earth. So that's the whole reason of where ministry should take place. It should take place in the areas that God has called each one of us specifically to represent the kingdom. Why is ministry needed? Well, first of all, as I mentioned, it's not optional anyway. But Psalms 107 verse 2, what does it tell us? Let the redeemed of the Lord hide it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That don't sound optional to me. If he's redeemed me, and the rest of that verse says, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. I don't know about y'all, but the adversary is kicking a lot of people in the behind right now. And they're not, their eyes are blind and they can't see it. But we who've been redeemed can see it, and we can point it out and say, hey, you don't have to be in that situation. Christ Jesus came to purchase you with an awesome price. And why are you allowing this little imp that's been defeated, that has no place, you're allowing this imp to ride your back when he should be under your feet? And we can set the score by letting people know how to overcome the mess that they're dealing with, because many of us have been through that same mess. But we came out. The smoke and the fire was all around us, but just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we didn't burn up. We need to have that same hope that we instill in others. So that's why ministry is needed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. It says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, and we beg you on behalf of God, Christ Jesus, be reconciled to God. And I asked the question, church family. Now, I want you to look at where it says here. He says that, namely, Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So, are we as the body of Christ, those that have been given that ambassadorship from him, are we reconciling or are we counting? See, if we're not reconciling, that makes me wonder, did we receive the ambassadorship from him? Because if we're ambassadors, we're supposed to be walking in the same light that he is. We're supposed to be covering. Love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus on the cross dying, asking him, Father, please forgive him. Most of us will be saying, Father, knock them down, judge them. I'm in pain up here. It hurts. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they know. Now, if he can do that on a cross, how come we can't do it if they cut us off in traffic? How come we can't do it if they take the last piece of toilet paper or whatever? You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be reconciling, not counting. Because I guarantee you, there is only one that truly reflects who we're truly representing. If we're truly representing him, there is no, we're going to cover. We're going to be there. Even, you know, and God told me this morning, I was getting ready. God says, it's a whole difference between being right and being righteous. It's a big difference. See, right means I want you to see things my way. And if you don't see things my way, you dumb, you stupid, you don't have a chance. But righteous means I can't brag on nothing of myself. The prophet said, my righteousness before you is as filthy rags. But we have all received his righteousness. So I can't point to anything that I've done. I remember Pastor Jim used to say, on my best day, I'm treading water. Because I got to depend on totally Christ and him crucified. I have nothing else to boast on, Paul said. Nothing. And so that righteousness is what people need to see, because that's what's going to bring them out of darkness. That God has made a way of provision for you to not walk in the mess, not deal like the prodigal son and be in the midst of the prodigal son. Notice the father never brought up anything about him. The prodigal son got covered and got restored. And the father never brought that up. But notice the attitude of the religious son. Man, I've been with you all this time. I ain't got nothing. It's like, first of all, if you need it, how come you didn't ask? And second of all, this is your brother that was lost. And now he's found. Are we reconciling or are we counting? Only one truly reflects who we're representing. So that's the why of ministry. The next one, I'm not going to keep you very long here. The next one is how should ministry take place? How ministry? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for all who are being led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So any dealing that we have with individuals, we got to be Spirit-led in the things that we say, in the attitude that we express. That's how we know we're going to truly affect them. Because otherwise, if I'm coming from the dome, if I'm coming from my mental ascent, I'm going to miss them. And God desires for us as sons to minister wherever the Spirit of God leads us. And sometimes, I guarantee you, it might just be just a simple hug. I think Sister Diana, I was looking at some of her stuff, and she was just saying about just how much joy that she had it ministered to the nurses.
Yes, it did.
You know, so I'm saying, you never know how God will use you, and sometimes it doesn't require you to have. I don't know what that verse means. Do you know how to pray? You know how to see God? If you do, then He is guaranteed you. He will give you the words that are necessary. He will lead you and guide you. And so it's important to operate from that position. Any other position that we operate from means that we're not led, and therefore we're not literally operating as a son. I don't want to be out there in the air trying to operate in ministering salvation to people. It needs to be Spirit-led. It needs to be directed. And I guarantee you, another thing, and I've shared this with you guys before, the temptation is, I got to share with everybody I meet. No, you don't. Because there were people that Jesus walked right past. He ministered to the ones that God led him to minister to. And so don't allow condemnation from the enemy to make you think that you're not effective if you don't minister to every single person in HEB. That's not what God intends. But He does want you to be attentive. He does want me to be attentive to hear Him guiding us and say, let them know that I love them. Let them know that though they've had all of this destruction in their life, I have restoration. And you don't know what it would unlock in someone if you just make that little, small little deposit in their life. It could change the very course of the direction that they're walking in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ. The truth in love. The truth in love. In any type of ministry that we're involved with, if it does not have the character of the one who has called us, it's a waste of time. It must be rooted. Any type of ministry that we give out, it has to be rooted in love. 1 Corinthians 13, he says, if I do all of these great things, if I prophesy, if I do all of this other stuff, but if no love there, it profits me nothing. We have to operate at all times out of that same heart of the one who called us. Love. And God, He's not, once again, He's not schizophrenic. He doesn't come one way and come another. He's anything that He tells, even if He corrects you, it's always going to be done out of love. If you're hearing another voice that's condemning you and making you feel guilty, I guarantee you, that's not Him. But God always, like I said, even if He's dealing with us, correcting us, He's always going to give that heart of love. And in likewise terms, us as the believers in the body, when we minister to others, when we share with others, it's got to be rooted and cemented in that same love. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And it says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. With gentleness and reverence. Once again, The attitude of the heart regulated by the Holy Spirit can reach people in ways the sense-ruled heart and mind can never do. We have to have that, and that's how, that's the only way gentleness and reverence can come, is once again, back to that whole aspect of being led by the Spirit of God. The world has seen, guess what, y'all? They know they jacked up. They don't need a reminder. But what they do need is a way out. And that can only be done when we come, see, like I said, and that's why I think so much of the world has this stigma against the churches, because they've seen judgment. They've seen anything other than reconciliation. But it's time for us, like never before, to be those that are waving the bloodstained banner of Christ and said, if you run to this, you will find safety. If you run to this, you will find redemption. And that's what God's wanting. But it has to be coming from an attitude regulated by the Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of us. So those are the things that I would encourage us as we're going to have opportunities, both as a church and as individuals, like never before. People are hurting. People are trying to get answers. The answer is on the inside of each one of us that's in this room that have made Christ Jesus Lord and Savior. And it's important for us to, more than ever, than we've ever done before, is to allow that truth to be lived out on the inside of us, so people can see the reality of who God wants them to, number one, see who he is, but who they are in him, who they can be in him if they just accept what he's already done. Getting ready to wrap up now, but I would just encourage us, we are poised at such a critical juncture as the body of Christ to truly make a difference in this earth. World changers. That's what God is wanting us to be. He wants to raise us up as world changers. We must rid ourselves of any type of man-made devices or agendas. See, the sad thing about it is there are so many earthly agendas that try to creep into the truth. We can't allow that. It's like, no. It's the word alone. The word is the regulation. All this other stuff, it needs to come in line with the word, not we allow it to be mingled. It has to be the word alone. But we must rid ourselves of any type of man-made agendas and rely totally on that great commission arsenal that we were given. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him, and he relegated that same authority to you and me. So that's why my brother said, no, we're not going to protest. We're going to walk the streets and we're going to declare every place. The word says every place that our feet trod, he has already given it to us as an inheritance. So we can boldly walk in the confidence of knowing that we are the redeemed of the Lord, and we can decree what thus saith the Lord. We must rid ourselves of man-made agendas and rely totally on the great commission and the arsenal that the Lord Christ Jesus himself gave to us, but doing so in the heart in which it was given, the heart of love, gentleness, reverence. And my friend Bobby, he texted me last night, the guy that I told you that inspired the pray test stuff. He saw, I sent him the video, because there was a part of the video that of what they did that we featured. And so I just sent him to him, because I said, man, you inspired us more than you think you know. Sometimes people just need to be reminded that God is using you. God, whether you think or not, what you did was impactful for the kingdom. So I just wanted to encourage him, and I reached out to him yesterday, and he said, man, I needed that. And he told me, and I wrote this quote down because I thought it was fitting. He says, I said, God is using you to open the door for people who feel there is no door of access. And he said, there's a lot of hurting people and wounds that people have to deal with before they will allow them to heal. But he said, the thing is, he goes, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring them to the great physician, but sometimes it just takes talking to. It just takes a heart of being concerned. And that's sometimes we have to realize, man, we have to literally, like, even God said, hey, come let us reason together. God himself, he said, come let us reason together. We need sometimes just be willing to just to be the ear, to listen to people's hurts. And in that meantime, and I'll never forget, there's many times Pastor Jim said that people would talk to him and he wouldn't say nothing. He would just listen. But at the same time, he's listening in here to what the Spirit of God wanted to give them. And sometimes that's what we just need. We just need to be that presence that people can tell us what the hurt that they're dealing with. They can give us that hurt, and when we can take it before the altar of God and find the rest that and the restitution that they need. Notice when the Great Samaritan, no, it talks about those two, and they was religious people that passed that guy that was wounded. They probably said, oh, well, he probably deserved that. He probably deserved to get beat up. The Great Samaritan never asked that question. He never asked, why are you beat up? Why? No, he took and he mended that guy. He was that covering that guy. Are we willing to let God use us as the healing remedy to help others who are hurting? That's what ministry is about. It's about pouring out of ourselves to minister to the hurts, to minister to the pains that people have. It's time for us to be. If we're not, it's time for us to be. Let us, and there's so many people, like I said, even in the body of Christ blew me away. How there was like, people would put up stuff and, you get judgment posts, this post. And I'm like, where's the grace? Where's the mercy? Where's the covering? We have to be that as the church. And the only way that we can do that is when we point people to the one who we need. We need in order to operate in that heart, it is necessary for us to depend and rely totally on the presence of God as he leads and directs and guides us. And we have the same spirit that he's given us. That is the answer that our world desperately needs. We sing the song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. That's what he's wanting to be in us. And so I'm going to conclude with our song. I think, like I said, I think it's fitting for what we're doing, for just the time that we're in, and just the call of God that, God, we need you. We need you to be effective in ministering to the hurts and the pains of individuals and the things that they're dealing with. So as a sign of closing, I'm going to ask DJ to prep that, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. But I pray, church family, that we won't be the same. We won't be the same. We won't allow ourselves to be idle. I totally agree with prayer. Yeah, we got to be prayer, but sometimes it's important. We got to put these feet to the prayer. We got to activate what God is wanting to do on the inside of us so people can be redeemed out there. So, DJ, if you could play that, blessings to you all.
Amen. people need the Lord. We've heard the word this morning. We felt the tug of the Holy Spirit. Stand with me. Father, I thank you for the word that we have heard, for your Holy Spirit that is here to draw us, to stir in our hearts, to stir in our spirits, that we may do your will, that we may be that hope that the world so desperately needs. That we have that hope and we are willing to give hope, and to not only give hope, but to establish the light in the darkness. And Father, I thank you that your word is planted in our heart this morning. The things that we've heard, the things that we have seen, that the word is rooted, is planted in our heart, and it takes root and it grows and produces fruit. Father, it's not just some things that we hear with these things on the side of our head. It's not just words, but Father God, it's your word and it's your spirit. It's your life that brings new life. And I thank you, Father God, that we are being raised up to make a difference in this city, to make a difference in this state and in this nation, Father God. We do need you. We need you desperately. And Holy Spirit, we are open to hear your voice. We are open to be led by you. And we are open to be the sons of the Most High God, because we are led by you. Thank you, Father, for meeting with us this day, for speaking to us, for showing us, opening our eyes, opening our hearts, opening our spirits to the truth of your word. And Father, I just give praise, glory, and honor to you. And thank you for this time. Thank you for Brother Damon and the word that you have placed in him. And I celebrate and rejoice in the reconciliation and the redemption, not only that it has been applied to us, that makes us free, that makes us reconciled, but as it flows out from us and through us. I thank you for, in advance, for what is accomplished in the future, starting even today, for the kingdom of God, that you are raised up, you are exalted. And as you are exalted and you are raised up, you said that you would draw men and women, boys and girls, into your heart. As we show your goodness, Father God, it's the goodness, it's your goodness that causes men of the world, of the earth, to repent. And Father, that is our heart, that your heart is made manifested in us and through us so that the world may be changed. We give glory and honor and praise to you, sir, for this morning, for all that you have done, all that's been said, the testimonies, the praise that's gone forth. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Now let's just lift our voice in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We rejoice and give glory and honor to you. Hallelujah. You are leading us by your Spirit. You are causing us. Hallelujah. You are causing us to walk in your ways. We thank you for it, Father God. We thank you that every life is filled with your love. We thank you that every life is filled with hope, with joy, and your peace. We thank you, Father. Oh, you are so good, Lord. You are so good, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, blessed be your name, blessed be your name. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I know that we haven't done this in a while because of we kind of got away from it when we didn't have anybody in the sanctuary. It was just the praise team. But if the words that Brother Damon spoke this morning are resonating within you, we want to bless Brother Damon this morning. And we'll be starting this back up, giving you an opportunity after every assembly for blessings to help receive. Because as you invest in what you have heard, then it comes around and produces in your life. So we'll use this bucket right over here. After we dismiss, you can put your blessings in there for Brother Damon and his endeavors of ministry that God is leading him into. And we know that he's going places, but we're coming with you. You ain't going to leave us here by... And don't leave us here by ourselves. We're coming with you. I'll drive the bus. But God is good. It's good to see everybody again. Good to see Bob and Julie. Hi, y'all. And everybody else is just kind of trickling back and finding their way. And it's like, the family coming back home. Coming back together. But we got a whole lot more family out there that doesn't know their family yet, but God is bringing them in. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I call you blessed. I say that the hand of the Lord is on you. His favor surrounds you. His goodness is made manifest in your life. That you are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. That no weapon formed against you prospers, but every tongue that would try to rise against you in judgment, it is cursed and cast down, and it is void of effect in your life. You are the light of the world, and you shine in the darkness. You are a testimony of God's goodness and his mercy and his grace. Go and shine the light of God's love. You are dismissed. You're loved. We'll see you on Tuesday night, 6:30, for prayer meeting. Bye.